Chicken Sex and Degrees, where we talk about life's pleasures, life's necessities, and the pleasures, necessities, nourishment,
and accomplishment.
And accomplishments, motherfuckers. This, welcome to where we talk about fucking everything we need to be talking about, goddamn it. Because clearly, 48, 49 episodes in, and I still don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But welcome. I'm Monica.
I'm Kanisha. And y'all, I got to give y'all a disclaimer. Your girl's allergies are kicking my ass. So
it's not even allergy season.
It is. Are you kidding me? It, first off, it's allergy season every day of the year in San Antonio. But yes, no, the allergies here are very high right now. And so...
Nah, but technically allergy season is like spring though, isn't it? Isn't that like the official allergy season?
Honestly, I don't know. Like when I say literally, the allergens are always super high here. They just high.
I feel like a lot of times Black people blame allergy, anything with allergies. You don't even know if you got allergies.
Actually, I did an allergy panel and I am allergic to pollen and mold. And that's what's high. Okay, I didn't do an allergy panel, but I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
See, that's just like motherfuckers always thinking ginger ale cure everything. It'd be fucking one little tear. He was like, my allergies is acting up. You don't even know if you got allergies.
I'm telling y'all, that's what it is. So I do have water, but look, your girl post-nasal drippage is out of this world. So I'm gonna try not to clear my throat a bunch of times, but just work with me, y'all. Let's work with me.
As I'm literally over here blowing my nose, I've been sick for like 2 fucking weeks and it's terrible. But I've still been outside, as you could tell.
And see, that's your problem. That's your problem.
That is, and you know what? That is my absolute, that's my problem, because I'd be fucking outside. Like,
I actually have some really good news.
What?
For me and my coworkers.
Okay, you got a new boss.
So, I wish. Last week, we finally let up the fucking mask mandate at my job.
Oh, yay. So you don't have to wear your mask. I don't know if this is the best time, though. Shit.
And, well, I keep on saying, well, this is why I'm so fucked up. Because I've been for 3 years wearing this mask at work every day. Hell, I'm not used to what's in the air here anymore. But it has been wonderful. I do keep on forgetting and being like, oh shit, I'm walking around without my mask on. But then I remember, we ain't gotta wear no mask no more. So
shit. Postal gave that mask up a long time ago.
I'm telling you, us in hospitals are the only ones that were still out here wearing masks.
You know what? And you know what else? People, places where elderly, like retirement people, elderly old people are. Because one of my locations, when I went in there last week or the week before last to change, you know, to refill, I didn't have a mask on. The lady handed me a mask. So I think that, I think some of them like healthcare. It's like a retirement center for old people, but
you gotta protect the elderly.
I was about to say, they're like vulnerable or whatever. So I got it. I was like, all right, good. I needed a new mask anyway. But yeah, I'm glad you guys let it up. I'm definitely, I've been fucking sick this whole week. And then my Black Girls Vote colleague just texted me this morning talking about I got COVID. So then I ran back to the house to do a fucking test. Luckily, I'm still negative. So I was like,
Lord, that's who you was doing all that partying with?
Nah, I mean, I was a little bit everywhere this weekend. I was just outside. But yeah, we kind of went to some of the Black Girl Vote parties. But I was everywhere. I was here. I was there.
What
I was all the places.
This Black Girl Vote?
Okay. I'm going to tell you about. So Black Girls Vote is a nonpartisan nonprofit located in Baltimore, Maryland. Our mission is to educate, empower, and engage young Black women from 16 to 24 and encourage them to utilize their voice through voting. So we basically go out into the community. We educate people on voter registration. We educate people on like voter rights. We register people to vote. We've been at all type of outside events all throughout the community, all throughout the DMV, everywhere. We also host lit parties We'd be having lit parties. We just had some lit parties on CIAA. We have an annual ball that we do every year. That's lit. We have cocktails for conversations.
Yeah,
that's
I see. Lit. Like, I see some of the things that y'all do, and I feel like it is such a wide variety. And I'm like, yeah. I need to ask her, like, what exactly, like, what is this?
Yeah. So, I mean, basically our mission, our whole mission though, is like voter, like advocacy, basically, like voting, and encouraging people of color to get out there and, you know, use their voice to change for change.
Right.
Basically.
Right.
Yeah. So right. a lot of our things are centered around voter voting. Everything is centered around voting. So a lot of the things that I think now is kind of taking this turn where like they're doing more than just voting. It's more so just about like providing resources. Ooh, hold on.
Ooh. Bless you.
Child.
And I've been sneezing a lot.
Okay. yeah, so now it's just kind of about just like, you know, advocacy and advocating for ourselves and advocating for the younger generation, which are young girls, ensuring that they're prepared to, you know, utilize their voice even if they want to get into the leadership of like politics or some shit like that, just providing that space for them. So it's like a little bit of everything that we do, and it's really big out here in Baltimore. So I am actually on the leadership team for Black Girls Vote. I've been doing Black Girls Vote almost about a year now, and I'm on the outreach committee, and I'm the lead of the outreach committee. So I have like a team underneath me who basically we just go out into the community to different events, and we'll host voter registration events. We'll sell, we have like merchandise that we sell that, you know, all the Black Girl Vote stuff you see me in. We sell that merchandise, and we seek membership. So people want to become members and join the whole Black Girl Vote movement. We also have a community service aspect too. I know you guys probably seen me and heard me doing all of those donation drives and requesting the sanitary shit. That's because we were doing a Boxes of Love for the organization, where we created Boxes of Love out of like sanitary products and distributed them to local shelters for the women at the local shelter. So Black Girl Vote is deep out here, for real, for real. Like we
yeah,
really
that's, be what's out here. That's what's up. That's what's up. I should see if there's something, you know, similar to that out here, because that's what's up.
You know, and if it's not, call us. We pop up. We'll be at all types of shit. We want to start expanding outside of Baltimore because we are a national nonprofit. And you know what's so funny is that Makita, who is, you know, the host, her sister is also in Black Girls Vote, and her sister's like a day one of Black Girls Vote. Like she's been down with Black Girls Vote since the day it wasn't created. I think
is
her
that
the,
how
the
you
CEO or founder
found out about it, or you found no, out separately?
No, so I found out about
so
it. I found out about it on I found out about it separately. I found out about it on just Instagram. I randomly just was looking and scrolling, and I was like, I don't know what this is, and I just looked at it, and then they had did like a volunteer committee search, like a recruitment where they wanted to just get like new volunteers, you know, to help out with their organization. So I had applied to be a volunteer, and I was on the team, and it was like me and the lady who is my lead, who works with me on like overseeing the team. It was just the two of us at one point. And at this time I was still a volunteer. I wasn't even on the leadership team. I was just a volunteer, but it was like every event we was doing, it was just me and her. So she actually had another co-lead that she was managing the team with, but the co-lead wasn't available as much. So they kind of approached me like, hey, you know, you be really showing up to all these events. Do you actually want to be on the leadership team? And I was like, sure, shit, let's do it. So I actually enjoy doing it though. You know, it's like, I always like to call it, it's like partying with a purpose. Cause I know people be seeing us be outside and me partying and shit like that, but we still have that purposeful part of all the partying and shit where you don't see that, like we're pouring into young girls, you know,
right? And I feel like that's kind of a way to attract those young girls too.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. especially y'all go down to age 16, they see, oh, they're cool. They're this. Oh, I'm interested in going. You know, that's how you even get their attention. So
yeah. Yeah.
And
I think it's just fun. And it's fun and it's a good network. And I've been enjoying doing it. And yeah, I mean, I'm probably have it do it for as long as I can. We just came back. I just actually came back from an event tonight that I was working. We went to a little career takeover for like the youth. They were like 16 to 20 something in like Southern Maryland. And we registered them to vote. We got like damn near almost like 30 people, new new little kids registered to vote. A lot of people don't know that you could be 16 and register to vote. A lot of people think you have to be 18, but you could be 16 to register, but you won't be legally able to vote until you're 18. However, okay, you can still register to vote, and I believe you can still work in as an election judge at the age of 16 for any upcoming type of election places or poll, you know, be a poll worker basically. So
yeah,
I was gonna ask people today.
I was gonna ask that, since you said starting at age 16, like, well, what are the 16-year-olds like?
They won't be doing anything, but they'll be registered to vote.
Since they're registered, yeah.
And I mean, you know what, like the seasons of like the election seasons happen every couple years basically or whatever. So I think 2024 will be like our next big election season. Because I think last year was. So I feel like they happen like every 2 years or something, based on the parties or whatever. But yeah, so if y'all haven't heard about Black Girls Vote, check us out. We are at Black Girls Vote on Instagram and Facebook, and it's a whole vibe. Come and ride the train. Whoop, whoop, and ride it. Come and ride the train. Nope. Yeah. Anyway, I did just get back from an event. I was going from Thursday all the way until like Sunday. So then Monday I was chilling, and then today I had an event to work, and then I honestly do not want to do anything Black Girls Vote related for like the next 2 weeks. I need a fucking break. Okay. I need a break. And I also need to keep my ass in the house, because I've been just sick and shit. Like, I've been sick.
Yeah.
And I did stay in the house for like a couple days. I've stayed in the house for a couple days, but I be having too much shit to do to just be sitting in the house. So I be outside. I was outside.
Patient zero.
Yeah. Nah, but see, I mean, I don't got COVID, so you know, I'm outside. I did test.
After COVID came out, I feel like we all forgot that there were different illnesses
besides
that
COVID
are also contagious. I just got the flu. Like, it's cool. Right. I ain't got COVID.
I'm literally just out here sniffing and snotting and everywhere.
Got strep.
Listen, I know, no big deal. No fucking big deal for sure. But yeah, I need to sit my ass down. So that's what I'm going to do today. Today was kind of busy though. Like, I have went to do a site visit for this new location that I was trying to put my bid in for. And when I had went there, like, it was two other Black ladies there. And I was like, even though they're competitors, because, you know, we're all bidding for the same location for my vending machine business. I was very happy to see Black women there. I was very happy to be like, yes, bitch. Yes. Like, I'm a win this bid, but like, yes, bitch. Like, yeah.
So like, what do you have to do to prove that you will win? Like,
so there's like this whole packet that you have to fill out, basically. You got to just like, honestly, it really just comes down to like whoever has the best fucking prices. Like, that's honestly what it really comes down to, I feel like. So I just got to really, now that I see like the competition, because they were in there asking a lot of questions, and I really didn't ask a lot of questions because they were asking them for me. And yeah, they were asking the questions that, you know what I mean? They asked some good questions. So I just kind of like, yeah, I'm going to let y'all bitches do all the talking. And then I'm going to just take y'all shit and just swoop in there and steal it. Like, so go ahead. That's all the questions. But I was very, very happy that they was there. So I kind of was just a little bit quiet, just listening. And then also, it was my first time doing a site visit. So I didn't really know like what to expect in terms of like seeing a location without actually getting it first. So,
so before what, you just like, hey, do you guys have room for this vending machine? Like,
yeah, basically. So you would kind of already be at the location to see, or you would already have already scouted out the location to know, you know what I mean, if you wanted it or not. So this one, since it was a bid, they wanted you to do a site visit and come see it. And then, which was helpful because it allowed me to see the space where we were set up and all of that good shit. So yeah, it's a state entity. So it's a little bit more like stricter when it comes to certain shit, but the bid isn't due until the 16th. So I'm actually going to just go to work this week and just like print out all the papers. I got to start going back into the fucking office because they being haters. But honestly, I ain't really mad about having to go back into the office because I need to get the fuck out of the house. I know people see me outside a lot, but y'all be seeing me outside a lot because I be in the house a lot, like working. So I be needing to get the fuck out this house. So I'm kind of looking forward to like getting my ass up and getting on the train. And
are you going to get the right
to work
train pass?
Yeah, I've been getting the right train pass for a few years now, Kenesha. The fuck? So yes, no, I don't even buy the right train pass. I just buy these little tickets now. So I do need to get some more tickets. But yeah, like, I mean, 2 days out of the week, that's light. I call it like my little field trip. So I'm just going to go. I'm going to go to work on Thursday and I'm going to start working on it. I'm going to print out all the paperwork and shit at work, because it's like 60 pages I got to print off. So I'm going to just use that ink and just, you know, do all that shit. But other than that, basically
anything that needs to be printed out is straight coming from work.
Hell yeah. And I was like, I'm not using my ink over here in this office. I'm just gonna use theirs. So we'll see what happens. I'm gonna submit. I've been going back and forth with these people since like November on this damn bid. So we're gonna see what happens. I ain't really like, you know, pressed, but if it works out, it works out. I'm gonna have to figure out, you know, how to put this shit in my schedule, but I'm gonna figure it out. I just gotta get up and do it. But yeah, that's my day to day. Black Girls Vote. My weekend, it was CIAA up in Baltimore. So that was lit and that was very expensive. And I had a good time. I think being on Black Girls Vote, I was able to get out. I was able to get in like all of the parties for free and drink for free because we had a section. So I was just like, hell yeah. But I feel like next year I want to like actually enjoy CIAA. Like, I don't want to work it.
What is CIAA?
It's like the big ass basketball tournament where like all the basketball people come into town and they hold these little different college tournaments and stuff for like the different, tournaments for the different colleges for basketball. But then also it's just a lot of parties. It's a lot of like networking. You could do a lot of shopping. People be having like little pop-up vendor shops that you can shop. It's just a lot of fucking activities and it's just everything is fucking expensive as hell. So it's just like a lit ass little time. So that brunch I had went to on Sunday, that was like my final little wrap up brunch that I had went to. So for CIAA, that was fun. But let me tell y'all one thing though. These motherfucking party promoters are getting outrageous, right? Please do not ever host a brunch if you do not have anywhere for people to sit down. Like sometimes these party promoters be so concerned about selling these goddamn tickets.
What did they just VIP. Not have enough tables?
No, they didn't have no tables. Like we had to stand up and eat. We had to stand up to fucking eat. We had to stand up to eat. So all the tables that they had, they were like wrapped around the side. They were like booth style tables, but they were like, those were like the tables that you buy. You know what I mean? The VIP, the tables that you buy, the bottle tables. And I get it. But at the same time, you guys are having a fucking brunch. Why are you having us sitting up?
Right. Like, why I feel am I like if you up? Do, if you have those tables, you still should have just some regular general admission regular tables where those exactly. would be like on a first come, first serve basis.
Exactly.
But I don't think exactly. that it should be. You have to get VIP or you're not going to get a table, period.
And there wasn't a table in that fucking place. Like they had the bar, so you know they removed the bar seats, but a lot of us was just standing around the bar eating. But that's still so fucking ghetto. Like that's not an experience. Like I was so upset. Like I was looking for that fucking email address. I didn't left them Instagram messages. When I tell you, I was gonna fool Karen on them motherfuckers because I was so upset. Like, don't ever invite me to no fucking brunch and you don't have anywhere for me to sit. Like, what type of experience is this? You should have the brunch from 12 to 4 and then the day party from 5 to 9 or whatever the fuck it is.
Right.
But you want to do all this shit at the same time and now we in heels. Bitches in heels. Bitches in, you know, dresses and shit looking cute and you got to stand up eating shrimp and grits. Fuck you. Fuck you, fuck you. And then I was leaving them bad reviews on goddamn their Instagram. Cause I'm like, I told them, I said, don't you ever have no brunch and make me stand up, bastards.
Yeah, no, they could have a few cocktails. Listen,
a little high top tables or something. Yeah. Like even if you didn't have no chairs, man, just have tables. And y'all could have pushed the tables out. Y'all ain't have nothing. I'd never go to that damn brunch again. They had the same brunch last year. So I was like, oh, my friends had a fun time last year at the brunch. So I'm thinking it's gonna be the same vibe. But then at least the place last year they had tables. This year they didn't have no fucking tables. So one of my friends, she ain't even come inside. She found out there wasn't nowhere to sit and she literally drove right on off, drove right past the venue and kept it moving.
You mentioned shrimp and grits, and my mom is actually having a brunch for her birthday this year at the house. And so I'm going to be doing the cooking.
Ooh.
I was thinking about making shrimp and grits, but there's two dilemmas. One, not really a dilemma, but one, I've never made shrimp and grits before. That one is not really a dilemma. Her birthday ain't until the end of April. I can make it a time or two and figure it out. But my dilemma is keeping the grits warm.
Oh, yeah, because you know them
in a Schaefer dish.
Yeah, because you know them grits get fucking, they turn into bricks after a while.
Right. So I was thinking about warming up a glass, a plexiglass bowl before I set the shrimp and grits out. Put that bowl in the oven so that when I pour the grits in there, like at least the vessel that it's in will be hot for a little while. And then going from there, that's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have any insights about that. I would say maybe look on YouTube. Look on YouTube and see how they do it. But
most of them got Schaefer dishes. And Schaefer
dishes. Well, then maybe you need to make it extra creamy or some shit.
Schaefer dish is just not going to go with my aesthetics.
Okay. You know what I was looking at today? I was watching this Breakfast Club interview with Nedra Tawab, you know who that girl is? She's like a a therapist, but she be on Instagram and she always be making these little Instagram posts just with therapy advice and shit like that for people. I'll send you her anyway. But she was on there and she was talking about like parents, and she was talking about how a lot of times people have a hard time separating the person from the task. So a lot of times when you see your parents, you don't view them as like Michelle.
Just humans.
Yes. Oh my God. You view them as. I've been
seeing this a lot on TikTok. So maybe she went viral or something and now people are chiming in on it on TikTok, because I've been seeing that a lot.
I don't know. I just seen this today. And she just was on the Breakfast Club this morning, so I'm not sure.
Oh, well, but then maybe not.
Okay, let me finish my story. Okay, where was I at? Because you interrupted the whole damn thought process. Okay, yeah, seeing it as like human versus like, yeah, seeing them as like your parent, Michelle or whatever, my mom, versus seeing them as like a human or just like their own person. And she was saying that a lot of times what people, like children, don't really realize is that their parents have their own set of like trauma and generational things that they've gone through. So when they become parents, they're almost like passing that same trauma and generational curses and shit down to their children because they don't know any better, basically. Mm-hmm. And I think it took me back to this episode of Dr. Phil that I was watching with Dr. Phil, and it was, I can't remember for sure, but I want to say it was Angie Stone and her daughter Diamond. And I remember her and her daughter did not get along, and like they had got into like some fights or some shit. And I feel like Angie Stone like busted her daughter's teeth out, like fucked her up because they had got into some fights or some shit. And Dr. Phil basically had made the same point of saying like a lot of times, you know, with children, we have a hard time of separating, you know, our parents, the tasks from the role, basically, like their task, like the task from the person. Their task is to be the mom, but they are Michelle, basically.
Right.
And I felt like when I was listening to Nedra, when she said that today, that's some real shit. I feel like so many times just in parenting and shit, like we'd be sitting there judging our parents, like, why would you do this? How are you? Why would you do this? This is not what a mom does. This is not what a dad does. But in reality, like these motherfuckers don't know either. Mm-hmm. Like they don't they're know what they're doing. Too.
Right.
Yeah. They're like
just, even they don't I feel have like no clue. If you're 9 kids in, sometimes there are still things you're learning. There are still things that 9th kid is doing that was different from the 8 others. So I definitely agree with that. I remember seeing that. Like I said, I was seeing it on TikTok. The first video I seen was this girl, her mom abandoned her and her brother. And so she was just talking in a video how like, I have learned to forgive her. I had to realize at the end of the day, she is still human. Yes, she is my mother, but she is still human. And I was like,
yeah,
that's real.
Yeah.
However, though, I do like there are certain things, or I don't know, like your kids might get to a certain age and it's like, you still doing this shit? Like, this is still what we're still going down this road. Like,
we haven't learned yet. You haven't learned yet how to be a little more compassionate. But I guess that's still
in terms of like the parents. In terms of the parents, like the learning.
Parent. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, nah. I don't know if I could, if you could, if that's even a way to think of it. Because, like I said, these are parents who have lived their own life,
right?
And who have gone through their own trauma and stuff. So they may not even be. They may not even recognize their issues or the way that they do things, you know? And it's even with us, like me, I only literally buy Dawn dish soap. That's all I buy. And you know I only buy Dawn dish soap? Because my fucking mom only bought Dawn dish soap growing up. And my mom is always just like, when she would see other dish soap, if I had like Ajax or something, she'd be like, what is this? Like, we're a Dawn family. Like, why are you using Ajax? Like, this is not good, right? And it's certain shit like that like gets passed down to like kids, and those kids become parents, and fucking, you know, you're not aware that you're doing these things, fucking, or you're not aware of these past trauma. Not that I'm saying that Dawn dish soap is trauma. I'm just saying that like a lot of times shit gets passed down, or you do things a certain way because you've seen other people doing them. So a lot of times with our parents, like, and just keep in mind, when our parents were younger, therapy wasn't even popping like it's popping now. So our mm-hmm. parents probably ain't never ever dealt with any of the shit that caused them issues,
and you know, still might be hesitant to even go now, like even recognizing the issue. I feel like they still might be like, I don't know though. I've survived 50 odd years without it. I'm sure I'm fine.
Yeah. And it's like, and it takes me back to a conversation I had, I feel like a few episodes, probably a million episodes ago, where it was just like, Black kids are the only kids that I feel like grow up to be financially responsible for their parents. Like, we are that race that we always have that burden of like sending our mom money, or them calling us or sending us Cash App invoices. Like, we don't often have that luxury of just not taking care of our parents. It's like, as we get older, it's almost the expectation that we're supposed to help out with bills with them. We're supposed to send them money, and we're supposed to, like, you know, fucking let them borrow $20 and $100. And that shit gets exhausting. Like, literally, that shit, like, my little sister right now goes through this shit with her husband's mom all the fucking time. Like, her mother-in-law will just Cash App her, just send her a Cash App request for $20. And my sister will be like, we ain't talked to this girl. She ain't called to check on the kids, but she'll just send us a Cash App. And she continuously asks for money. And my sister gets frustrated. And I keep telling her, like, yo, tell that motherfucker no.
Right.
Like, no, something. Like, no. So my sister was like, all right, I'm gonna draft a message. So she drafted a message and I had her edit it. And I'm like, no, tell her fucking no. Like, because it gets annoying, where it's just like, it's a fine line between you want to help your parents out, but then it's also just like, again, all this time you ain't fucking figured out how to take care of yourself.
Right.
Like, what if I wasn't here? What the fuck you gonna do?
Right.
You gonna figure
like,
it out.
Yeah. Like, now I definitely don't think there's anything wrong with helping your parents out. Like, if my mother needed something, I have zero problems with helping her out, because I mean, I don't want to make it seem like I feel like I'm obligated to help her out because she took care of me. Cause I mean, that's, you were my mother. That's you were supposed to take care of me. Right. But I also know that, like, if I got in a bind or anything, that she would be there without question to help me out. Now, if you were just randomly on this Tuesday evening, I get a Cash App request from you, and that's like a regular thing, like, that's a no for me. We need to figure something out. I don't know if you need a new job, if you need to downsize where you live in, or what's up. Because now I can't be your mother and be taking care of you.
But that's what it turns into. I feel like for a lot of Black kids, it turns into us mothering our, parenting our parents, right? And I have a person who, you know, I work with, who I'm close with, and like, her daughter is 23 and like, or 22, and like, her daughter basically is not really doing anything at this point, right? And she does pretty much everything for her daughter. And we had this conversation a couple of weeks ago where she was saying, you know, she feels like it cripples her daughter because her daughter doesn't have the motivation to do shit for herself, basically. And I'm like, yeah, but at the same time, it's nice to be able to have a parent who you can depend on. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't, if something was to happen to me, my mom wouldn't even have the money to fly the fuck out here and get, you know what I mean? Like, she wouldn't even have that, basically, right? So my mom is definitely, she's one of those moms that she's tried it in the past where, like, she's asked for shit and, like, you know, she asks us for shit. But a lot of times my mom, she knows that if I lend you money and you don't pay me back, you can never ask me again. So even if she does ask me, it's very small amounts. So to be like, oh, okay, you cash at me $20 so I can blah, blah, blah. I'm not cash at her. She'll send it right back, basically. You know, it's like, so she don't play them games with me because I, you know, I cut that well off. And also because I'm not a fucking ATM. Like, I'm not. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you should have got your ass up and gone to work. But I don't think people realize that, like, is that another form of trauma? Like, is that another form of trauma that Black people... like another layer that we now have to add on to of like being responsible for parents and our parents? Like, or is it a rite of passage? Like, what the fuck is it? Why is it a thing? Like, what is wrong with these parents that they can't?
I don't like, okay, now do I personally know any whites or Mexicans or Asians who do have to like provide for their parents like that? No, but I don't think that I would agree and say that it's only a Black thing. I mean, I don't think that I would agree that it's only a Black thing.
Absolutely. You just said that you don't know any whites or any Mexicans.
I don't. However, I also don't have Black friends that are just the parents who are going to just send them a Cash App request. So I guess for me, it's across the board. Like, when it comes to like financial, I don't know, but I think it's a
Black
parent
thing.
I think it's a parent who never grew up type of thing,
but it's and always a Black parent. Okay, you're trying to be too nice, Kenesha. Fuck that.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think it's just like I said, parents that just have never grown up.
Yeah, that's I don't know. But I do think that even the parents who weren't there did wrong in your life. I do think that you get to a certain point as an adult that you do look at them. You look at them from a different perspective. And I think that if you hold any type of like animosity or any type of like hatred towards your parents because they weren't something to you growing up, I think when you get older and you realize that like life is fucking hard, like shit makes sense to you. Like, you know, growing up, my mom, she was wilding the fuck out. But now I look at it and I'm just kind of like, you know what? My mom probably was fighting fucking battles that I didn't know shit mm-hmm. about. And it's like, I have this instant this grace for her. You know what I mean? Like, you still was a fucking crazy, but like, I understand because now that I'm older and I'm looking at life and I see how life be fucking life in, sometimes this shit makes me want to smoke crack too.
Okay. Like, yeah.
No. No,
I mean, maybe, no, maybe not. Maybe crack, it's just me. Maybe not crack. But no, I do feel that, like, you know, like we said in the beginning, we don't separate. And I mean, I might even look at your mom and be like, but Monica, that's still your mom. But
yes,
she's also still just a human, though.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. It was an interesting conversation though. And I think I only say all that to say sometimes that I feel like even with your parent now, everybody can get cut the fuck off. Let's be very clear. Like, everybody can get the cut the fuck off. And I think a lot of times my argument that I usually have with people and just even my mom is that my mom a lot of times thinks that she can just do whatever the fuck she wants to do. And because she's my mom, I have to deal. Yeah. And I tell her all the time, oh, no, because I'll block you too. Like, stop fucking playing with me. Don't play with me because you can't just do whatever you want to just do to me. And my mom just has this, she just feels like she gets these unlimited passes and it's like, no, you're crazy. And I don't like that notion. I don't like that notion that people think like, oh, because, you know, this is this person and this person that they can just continuously be in your life and do harm to you. And it's like, no, it's fair game. All you motherfuckers can go. Like, it's
because
fair
I
game.
Really should cut you off for doing that shit before I cut the motherfucker off on the street off because you're my mother.
Yeah. But see, no, because no, because now you're not separating the task from the person.
Okay, true. This is just a person. It's just a person. So if I'm cutting the other motherfucker off, I'm cutting you off for the same thing, because we just people. We just people. You're right. We just
so you people. Can't cut her off because she's your mom. You gotta cut her off because she's Charlotte.
Because she did what she did.
Yep. Okay. That's how you gotta cut her off. But people just be so like grown, like used to like growing up and just like dysfunctional family. And you know what I've learned though too is that I've honestly learned that some people thrive better in chaos. Mm-hmm. Like as crazy as that sounds, like there are some people in life who like their life is not meant to be peaceful. Like they don't know what real peace is, because they thrive better when shit is in chaos, when shit is chaotic. Like it's like it's there. I don't know. It just feels better. You know how like the Grinch like was so used to living like in his little funk and stuff like that, right, in his little cave. It's like that. It's like that. Like I know people who I feel like sometimes I be talking to them and I just be thinking like, damn, you got to find something wrong with everything.
Everything.
Like God,
when it comes
damn.
To work, that's me. When it comes to work, that's me.
Everything. Like I don't get it. Like I don't get it.
But how I feel like it's like something. It's like the homegirl who comes out of this fucked up relationship, finally finds somebody, treats her well, you know, checks all the boxes, and it's just not enough. Ends up going back with that other person, because you thrive off of arguing. You thrive off of going through this nigga phone.
Yeah. And it's not even, I don't want to even say it's thrive. I just feel like people, it's so normalized.
That's what you know.
You know
that's
what I mean? Right. Like, so that's all you know.
That's what you know. So that's what feels good to you. That's what's comfortable
that's what
to
feels
you.
Safe. And that's crazy. And that's crazy. And that's just like, I don't get it. Like, I don't know. I'd be thankful that I'm not in that space right now. I'd be thankful that shit, the days of my issues be trying to figure out what to eat and not having to fucking, you know, always have spiritual warfare.
Yeah. Now, I feel like these days I have become a parent to my mother in a different, not like financially type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like the other day she was telling me something and I'm like, well, you need to do this and you need to do this and you need to do this. Sometimes she'll check me and she'd be like, Kenesha, who is the mother here? And I'm like, yeah, I did forget that she was the mother. But I feel like I'm always like, and da 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 and da 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 and da da. Then I even have to tell myself, like, girl, you ain't nobody mama. And like, even the other day, I was like, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to like chastise you. I'm just like, these are just some things I have to, like, I'm just telling you, because obviously you don't realize it, you don't see it. And I feel like, I don't know.
No, or, I feel like that too when I be around older people too. It's like I feel like I always know a better way of doing things than they do. And sometimes it's just like, I'm just right. Like, shit. I mean, I'm serious. Like, I'm just fucking right. I don't know.
Or like, even sometimes, like, you know, my mom's a truck driver. So there are many nights, especially on the weekends. She usually drives nights. So if I'm up, you know, sipping or whatever, I hop on the phone with her at 1 o'clock in the morning, sit on the phone with her till, you know, about 4 o'clock. In the morning. And shit, I feel like sometimes, which I mean, I do like that me and my mother have this type of relationship, but I be feeling like sometimes like my teenager just came in from a night and we sitting in the kitchen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I'm like, when did I become the parent?
Yeah.
And now she always do be saying, well, my mother said, and she be referring to me. She be referring to me.
Nah, but I think it just realized that, like, shit, adults really don't even have it figured out, but people just happen to be like parents, right? And I think as we get older, you know, I don't feel like we know more than our parents, because I ain't gonna say that, but I just feel like they just be doing too much. That's how I feel. Like, sit
doing
down.
Too much. Sit
your ass down somewhere. Like, what are you talking about? But sit, I mean, down. That's why it's important just to give your parents grace, I guess. And just, you know, it's not, they always say like, it's no perfect way to be a parent, or it's no perfect way. But then it's just always like, damn, what is the rule book? Or where's the playbook when we start parenting our parents, like, mm-hmm. where's the guy by guy step for that shit? Because that shit is hard. Like, it's not a one size fit all. That's for sure. Because some of these parents do not fucking listen. And then, of course, it's like
some stuff, like, you know, like at the end of the day, like, that's your mama. That's your daddy, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. So it's certain things that you're just not going to say because now this is just going to come off as you being disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
yeah,
you know, like you said, well, where are the guidelines? Where are the rule book?
Yeah. And I think like, and I think again, it's just like, as they get older and as everybody gets older and we see things different, it's important to have like compassion for them, but it's also like holding people accountable. You know, mm-hmm. and I think now that we're older, we're able to hold our parents accountable and say, like, you know, nah, you didn't do this and do this and do this.
Sometimes maybe, that, my maybe mom, that's what it is. I think
even
you just
with my mom, like my mom does shit. And then when I hold her or I say, like, yo, you did this, well, no, I didn't do and it's just like, nah, but you did, right? Because as when we're younger, like, you know, it's a difference when you need your parents. And I think when mm-hmm. we like, and I'm saying like, we all need our parents, but I think like, as we get older, we need them less, right? Like I'm paying my own bills. I make my own money. So a sense of me, I don't need my mom to like take care of me now. So it's like our relationship shifts, you know,
right?
Out of like me needing you to take care of me. But in a sense, we're almost like equal, not you. I don't know, like not equal, but like I'm an adult basically,
but we're
like,
both
I'm independent,
we're grown.
Like
we're grown,
yeah,
right.
You know what I mean, so you can't really tell me what to do with anything, and I can tell you what to do because I know fucking better.
No, I feel it. Like it's just like now we're both grown, like you said, we're not equal, like I understand that you're gonna always be my mother, but we are both grown now. I remember one time me and my mom, we were getting into it, and I had told her, I was like, okay, I'm grown. Like, if you want to have a conversation between two grown adults, we can do that. But like, you're not about to just sit here and yell at me like this. Like,
yeah,
you're not about to talk to me.
I had a bug just fly in my face. Why is this bug stuck in my glasses? Ah! Sorry, I'm being attacked. It just flew in my glasses, y'all. Ah.
Okay.
Ooh. Okay.
Are you
I think
alive?
It left. Why did it just fly in my damn glasses like that? Like, out of all the places it could fly. Like, god damn. Bitch, I already can't see. Shit. Sorry, y'all. Dumb hoe. Go ahead.
I don't even know what was going on anymore.
You was talking about you and your mom had got into it bad.
We ain't getting into it bad. We ain't getting into it bad because my mama not gonna argue anyway, for real.
You, that's what you just said. You said me and my mama had just got.
No, into I said we. I said we were getting. Well, I guess I did say like we were getting it. We were Same. Getting into it, but like in the midst of it all, you know, I can tell that she was talking to me like her young child, and I'm like, okay, we're two grown-ups now. You're not you're not gonna talk to me like I'm 10 anymore. If you want to have a conversation, like we can have a grown up conversation, but like I'm not about like not about to like yell at me.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it all boils down to just having compassion, I guess, for our parents and understanding that our parents are just fucking people who happen to be parents. And learning to separate the task from the person, the role from the person, basically. And none of us know what the fuck is going on. Marriage is hard. Parenting is hard. I just feel like everything is hard. Is there anything that's not fucking hard in life? Mm-hmm. Getting fat is not hard.
That's not hard.
Getting
that's
fat is hard. very fucking very easy, you guys, because
hard.
I am over here turning into a fucking chunky monkey. But I do think that being a parenting is hard, and these parents, they don't know what they're doing, and we don't know what we're doing. And even when we become, you know, parents, we still ain't gonna know what we're doing. But the good thing about it is that, like, you get to choose the people who you want to be in your life. You know what I mean? And I'm very big on that. Like, I'm not saying not to choose your parents, but I'm just saying, like, you get to choose the people who you want to be in your village. And if people aren't playing their fucking day role, cut them out. everybody, parents included, damn it. But if you don't want to cut your parents out, then just give them grace and just know that Tawanda is doing the best that she can.
And that's it.
Yeah.
Just lead in it, knowing, like you said, look, this is Tawanda. If you know you're not gonna cut them off, ain't no purpose of me getting mad at Tawanda over this that she done did for the past 32 years.
But you can still hold people accountable, though.
No,
still very much hold Tawanda accountable. Okay, Tawanda might did some fucked up shit, but you can hold her accountable. Like, you know, Tawanda, I ain't like when you did that shit. You can practice grace. You can practice grace and you can practice accountability at the same time. I'm gonna give you grace, but I'm still gonna hold you accountable. Don't do that shit no more.
Yeah, right? No, for sure. I think that's what, like you had said earlier, I think that's what that's kind of what the major shift is. I think, like, from being a kid and an adult with your parents is now that accountability. Mm-hmm. If your parent didn't do something and you were a kid, it was because I didn't do it because I didn't. Okay. And that's just that. I said this because I said it.
Exactly.
But it's like, but now it's like, no, like, and we shouldn't even say that to kids either. Just because you're 10 doesn't mean that you don't deserve a valid reason for something, but it's easier for us to shoo away kids or something, you know, by saying things like that.
Because at the end of the day, because they need us, because they need, you need them. But when you get to a point where you don't need your parents anymore, and I'm just talking about financially, because, you know, we always need our parents. I'm talking about, like, financially, and, you know, we're adults, basically. That's when shit shifts, basically. But we start parenting our parents. It's like the circle of life. Like, we start parenting our parents.
Circle of life.
And I still personally think that Black people are the only race that does it. You know, Kenesha thinks otherwise, but I do think that I'm scientifically right that it is Black culture. It is the expectation of Black culture to take care of their parents for some odd reasons. And we need to kill that shit, y'all. Like, I don't want to be taking care of my mom. I love her dearly, but no, I'm not sending you no fucking money. Get your own goddamn money. Because every time I ask you, remember all the times you said, do I got McDonald's money? Get your own fucking McDonald's money, goddamn it. Right. So anyway, that's it, y'all. That's all I had to say about that. That was on my heart today. I had to let it out.
You got to get what's on your heart out.
Anywho. All right. Well, this can be a short little teaser. How do we throw to this? What do we need section? That is where we're going. What do we need
section? I'm like, throw to this.
I couldn't think of the section. In the realm of chicken sex and degrees, Makita, what is it that you need?
This is Kenesha.
What did I just call you?
Makita.
Makita. I'm already, because you know what I was about to say in my mind? I was thinking of Makita because I just had a conversation with Makita and she was saying she was almost ready to come back. That's what I was thinking. Anyway, so you're absolutely not right. Obviously, Makita's on my mind. Kenesha, in the realm of chicken sex and degrees, what do you need?
I'm going to go with right now, sex, figuratively and none. Wait.
Figuratively and literally?
Literally. And, God damn.
Oh.
But no, more so, I feel like I just need a vacation.
But are you going on vacation for sex?
No. I mean, that would be nice, but that's not why I want to go on vacation. I just want to go and be at somebody's pool bar from like 11 a.m to about 7 p.m for like 3 days straight.
Okay.
And then just come back super dark. And then I guess go back to work because I mean, that's not an option.
I thought she was going to be come back super dark to like some dick or some shit. I was like,
I would just go back to work. But like, that's what I need. I just need a vacation what I really need. How about yourself?
I feel like I need nourishment. What is that, chicken? I only say that because I feel like I've been sick for 17 years and you probably can still hear my little sickness in my voice. So I need to just keep my ass in the house and really just like nourish myself so that I can get over this goddamn congestion. Because like I was having a cold at first, but now I was just, I got to keep blowing my nose. And I'm like, how long am I going to be blowing my nose? I've been blowing my nose for like 2 weeks and I'm still full.
Is it clear?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's a good thing.
But I'm just tired of blowing my nose. Like, I don't even understand. So after this, I'm going to go make me some tea and shit. And I'm about to try to sit down. I'm going to be in the house tomorrow all day. I got to start going back to the office on Thursday and Friday. So, whatever. But yeah, that's what I need. Some fucking nourishment. So we got nourishment and we got pleasure. So we got chicken and sex this episode. Okay. That's pretty good. We did pretty good. And I don't always remember how Makita always throws to the last bite. Do we just jump from one section to another section? I literally just had a conversation with her though. And I was just like, yo, this editing shit, y'all, is for the fucking birds. I don't enjoy editing this shit. Like, I don't. That was always her responsibility. And I feel like, I mean, I'm getting like the hang of it. It takes me a really long time. And then it's hard to fit that shit into my schedule. So that's why everything be dropping super late. But I do not enjoy doing this editing shit. I think it is absolutely stupid. And I was just telling her like, yeah, you know, she's like, oh, I think I'm gonna be ready to come back in April, end of April, I think. I'm like, yeah, I hope so. So I don't have to keep doing this shit for real. Because I'm not enjoying it, but I'm cranking this shit out. So in honor of me becoming a guru at editing, now it's time for the last bite for you. Who wants the last bite?
I can take it.
Go ahead.
I think what we were saying, extend grace to our parents, but yet hold them accountable. They are humans just like we are humans. We all out here just trying to figure shit out, fucking up as we go. But as long as people hold us accountable and we correct those things, hopefully by the end of our days, we will become good people. That's all I got to say.
All right. Well, that was quick and sweet. And I just want to say on All American, they killed off fucking Billy Porter or whatever his name was, or he died or some shit in a car accident. And it was just given stupid. I just hated that. So yeah, I just want to say that.
I don't watch it, but
you don't watch All American? Yeah, I had tuned in and I seen like the little white mom was like all sad and shit. Like, everybody had my husband and this is all I have left of him, some shit. And I was just like, what a stupid storyline to kill him off. Like, you know, they could have killed off Preach, or they could have really killed off goddamn what's the girl's character? Scoop, because she was annoying as hell. But anyway, this has been another episode of Chicken Sex and Degrees, brought to you by Chicken Sex and Degrees. Thank you guys for tuning in and listening this episode. You guys can like us on Facebook, on Instagram, subscribe to our podcast. We are available on all streaming platforms. You can also visit www.chickensexanddegrees. Make sure you guys buy some fucking merch. We need some merch. I do. One of my goals this year is to really start vending, you guys. I just don't know how I want my vending table to look. I'm trying to think of something like cool to set up my display. And I feel like it would be very corny if I have like fucking condoms and Popeyes and fucking a fucking diploma. I feel like that'd be so corny. So I'm trying to like, yeah, so I want to be able to like incorporate Chicken Sex and Degrees like into my actual table with like something interactive to make people want to stop and, you know, whatever. So that's where my mind is right now, is that I'm trying to just figure out how to do it. But I was talking to my friend, and my friend was saying that I had got some professional pictures made. So she was saying it could be dope to have, like, to get those pictures like blown out maybe and set them up somewhere in my display area. I don't know how I'm gonna do it yet, but I'm gonna figure this shit out, because that is on my 2023 goals, to start vending and get this merch moving. But in the meantime, if you do not have a Chicken Sex and Degrees shirt, please visit www.chickensexanddegrees and order some. And yeah, we are available on all streaming platforms, Facebook, talk to us, Instagram, talk to us. We're on Twitter at Chicken Sex and Degrees, no I, no E. We're basically just everywhere, anywhere you guys want to be. Just listen everywhere. And engage with us and talk back to us and share our shit and tell a friend to tell a friend. And thank you. Jesus loves you. Anyway, so That's about it for me. I'm Monica.
I'm Kanisha. See you.
Bye.